Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
This is Fellowship Talks, and I'm your host, Dan Schaefer, and I'm here with my co-host, Amy Scrivanos.
Hey, everyone.
And Fellowship Talks is a podcast of Fellowship Bible Church. Fellowship Bible Church is one church in Central Arkansas with five campuses, and we're united in vision and mission as we go after making disciples for Jesus. It is good to have you with us today on Fellowship Talks. Amy, I'm really excited about today's episode.
Me too. This is something new for us.
Yeah, we're going to try a new series with a new theme here on Fellowship Talks called The Top Five.
All right.
So from time to time on Fellowship Talks, you're going to hear or see a podcast titled Top 5. And we're going to bring in different guests. We're going to have different guests who talk about their top 5 around a certain category. And okay. So this is going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to today's because today's are the top 5 ways to worship God outside of Sunday morning. So that can bring a lot of different ideas. When we think about worship, a lot of times it's singing at church or giving offering or listen to the sermon. But what does that look like going through our week?
Yeah, I think that's a great conversation. I think as we think about our daily lives and recognize that we want to live lives of worship to God, then what does that look like throughout the week?
Yeah, and one of my favorite quotes around that is, we become what we worship, and we worship what we love. And I think that's just really pointed, if it's God or if it's something else. And so we actually have Dalton Schaefer here with us today. Hey, Dalton.
Hey.
Dalton is our Cabot worship pastor. He came to Little Rock to do the podcast with us today. And Dalton, why don't you tell everybody just a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So I am the worship pastor at our Cabot campus, like Dan said. I just got married in December, came on staff in February. And so this has been a great joy and adventure coming on to Fellowship and getting to serve with great people.
That's right. It's great working with Dalton. He's part of our great worship team here at Fellowship. So good to have you with us today to talk about your top 5 ways to worship God outside of Sunday morning. So what do you think about that topic altogether?
I love it. I was excited to, as a worship pastor, obviously I love talking about worship. And a lot of times people kind of group that with singing only. And it's always good to be able to come back and say, okay, what is worship biblically? What do we see in Scripture? And it's so much more than just an offering on Sunday morning. It is a whole life. We see that in Romans 12, that it's our bodies that are living sacrifices, holy, pleasing to God, that is our acceptable spiritual worship. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, I can tell you're just a little passionate about this. I'm glad we asked you to come on and talk about this. You told me right before we started recording that you wanted to flip the topic just a tad.
Yeah, I do. And so, I kind of want to reframe, and I'll tell you a little bit about that is I do love talking about worship. But there's this quote from a theologian. His name is G.K. Chesterton. He's a philosopher and theologian from the late 1800s, early 1900s. And he said this, that when we cease to worship God, we do not worship nothing, we worship anything. And Matt Papa takes that idea in his book, Look and Live, and he says that we don't initiate worship, we simply aim our worship. And so I'd love to kind of reframe top ways to worship outside of Sunday morning and reframe it as the top 5 ways that we can reorient our worship back onto Jesus.
Oh, that's so good.
That's really good.
So let's jump in.
Let's do.
What's number 5?
Okay, and so I have to say that these are not in any particular order. No one of these is more important necessarily than any of the others. But we'll start with number 5 is something I think is really foundational, and that is to spend time with God in His Word and in prayer. And so I'll just say a couple of quotes from Scripture that I think are helpful around this. And it's 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that we all with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And it was that same thing that we become what we worship and we worship what we love. And so as we worship Jesus, as we behold Him, we will be transformed into His image. And so we need to spend time with God. And that comes through prayer. It also comes through time in the Word. Psalm 19:10-11 says, more to be desired talking about the word of God, the laws of God. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, and sweeter also than honey, the drippings of the honeycomb. And so we know that the word of God is valuable, more valuable than gold, but it's also sweeter than honey. And so I think it's really important that we spend time. We spend time in it. We behold the glory of the Lord. And I love David Platt's thoughts around prayer. He said this at a secret church, that prayer allows us to express the depth of our daily need for God, explore the mystery of daily intimacy with God, and experience the power of daily being used by God. And so I think just spending time with the Lord is a great way to reorient our day and our lives back around worshiping Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So number five is spending time with God in His Word and in prayer.
Mm-hmm. I love that one. And I love starting there too. One of the quotes that I love too is from Donald Whitney in his book, Personal Spiritual Disciplines.
I know exactly what
and
you're about to say.
I don't know that I can quote it, but he talks about how that when we spend time in the Word and in prayer, we're putting ourselves in the pathway to experience Jesus. Like Zacchaeus did on the road, we're putting ourselves in that pathway. And that has always stuck with me of, I want to be in that pathway to experience God.
That's great. That's great. Awesome. All right, Dalton, what's number four?
Yeah, number four is to serve God by serving others. And so Jesus was the example. Matthew 20:28 says that even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. I think one way we can reorient our lives to worship God is to serve others, whether it's your spouse or your kids or your neighbor. Serving people will give God glory when others see our good works, and it glorifies our Father in heaven, as we see in Matthew 5:16. And so,
how do you see that play out for you personally? For you and Whitney.
Yeah, yeah. And so me and my wife, I have to correct you. So it's Whitley with an L.
I'm so sorry, Whitley.
Everybody gets it wrong. And so,
my bad.
Yeah, we don't even have to edit this out. We can leave that in because that's the life. I have to stand up for my girl. And so I think part of it is it changes the way that we talk to each other, both at home, just between us, where the only person who will ever see that is God and He gets the glory. Mm-hmm. Helps point my wife to Christ. It reminds me of, I think being married just reminds me of my need for Jesus, as I'm so selfish, but also I find this hope that Jesus, He ransomed us so that I can love my wife well. But also when we're in public and people see the way that I talk to my wife or the way I talk about my wife, especially around people who maybe don't have a biblical framework for marriage and relationship, it's something that really, it challenges them and they go, that's different than the way that I think about relationships or marriage. So
the way we speak about our spouse in front of other people is actually worship before
it is.
God.
Oh, absolutely.
That's really cool. That's really cool. Number three. What's number three?
Yeah, so number three, and this one, I love this one, but it's got a word that I think sometimes we hear and we want to shy away, but I want us to kind of press into it. It's live a life in a rhythm of repentance. And so daily repentance. We all know that repentance means to kind of turn, or even the word really means just to decide to turn. And so we think about turning to Jesus for the first time. But really the picture we see in Scripture is daily repentance, constantly waking up and reorienting our lives to worship Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so if you look at Hebrews 12, 1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And so this picture that the writer of Hebrews is painting is that every day we need to wake up and we need to lay aside sin. Like we need to repent daily to run the race. And I love John Piper has some thoughts on this. Because we see that and we're like, well, obviously lay aside every sin. But it doesn't just say lay aside every sin. It says lay aside every weight and sin. That there are actually things in our lives that are not sin that we should still lay aside. And so John Piper says this, that the lowest question we can ask as Christians is this sin? The question we should ask is, does this help me run the race faster?
I love
that quote. And so, yeah, a life of repentance, turning from the things that don't help us run the race so that we can run the race with endurance for Christ.
And don't you think the more we do that, the more aware we become of the things that we need to be repenting of, those
Absolutely.
Things that are weights that we just, if we take the time to think about that and to let God just reveal those to us, we become aware that there's so many things that we turn to besides God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, I think a lot of times we think about those weights and it's like, man, I have to lay aside things I love so much. And it's so hard to do that. But really, it's a joy when mm-hmm. we start looking to Christ that we find that his yoke is easy, his burden is light. And that when we do lay aside those things, it is our great joy to run that race mm-hmm. with endurance. Mm-hmm. And so
it frees us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
This is so good. I can't wait to hear what the last two are. So Dalton, what's number two?
So number two, surround yourself with community. And so I know at Fellowship, we have D groups. We want to gather on Sundays, but we also want to gather outside of that. And even beyond D groups, just the people that we spend our time with. I know in Acts 2, it talks about they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. And so we want to devote ourselves not only to the apostles' teaching, but also to fellowshipping together, eating, sharing meals together, breaking bread, being reminded of what Christ has done, and praying together. And so I think it's really important to surround yourself with a biblical community that can help you be accountable, that you can serve with them, you can grow alongside them, they can encourage you, build you up, spur you on to love and good deeds. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important to surround yourself with that community to help reorient our lives back to Christ.
Yeah, so here at Fellowship, we have small groups that are called D groups or discipleship groups. And so I've never thought about just the act of going to and participating in my D group as being worship before God. Mm-hmm. I thought about worshiping at the D group, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But going to and just being a part of D group and fellowshipping with other believers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a good perspective on that.
It's a great image. Absolutely. Powerful image in my head. That's mm-hmm. good. All right, drum roll. Ready? Drum roll for number one way to worship God outside Sunday morning.
Yeah. So number one, and this is something that's, if you know me and my wife, is really, really close to our hearts, but it's to participate in the global mission of God. I heard it put this way once in a way that's always stuck with me is that we've now been called sons and daughters of God. Mm-hmm. We are now in the family of God. And our Father wants to get us in on the family business, and that business is making disciples of every tribe and tongue and nation, all to the glory of his name. And so you see it in the Great Commission, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And so if you want God to be with you always to the end of the age, then get in on his mission, because he's promised he will be with us. We see that picture in Revelation. Every tribe, tongue, nation will one day bow before King Jesus, and we get to be a part of taking the gospel to every tribe and tongue. We get to be a part of the glory of God spreading to all nations. I love this verse in Habakkuk 2:14, and it says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas." And so the world is already filled with the glory of God, but it is not yet filled with the knowledge of his glory, because there are people who have still never heard the name of Jesus. And so if we want to reorient our lives to worship God, then we have to participate in the very mission that he's called us to.
Yeah.
I love the passion you speak about with that, just even saying, we get to do this. Like, I just got back from the IF Lead conference in Dallas, and they had, it's an all-girls conference, so it's very girly. We had little tote bags, and on it, it said, "Can you believe we get to do this?" And just talking about living on mission with God, that he invites us to participate in this way.
Yes.
Can you believe we get to do this?
What a great thing to have on a bag there. Mm-hmm. That is really cool.
Yeah, it was.
So, Dalton, you mentioned that this is really, this is a big passion for you.
It is.
So how does this play out for you guys personally, practically?
Yeah. Right when I asked Whitley to be my girlfriend, like 1 week later, I went and spent 2 months in China traveling villages and telling people about Jesus. We did long distance for that time, and then we spent a year at different colleges. And then that following summer, she went on a mission trip to China and did the same thing, taking the gospel to unreached people groups.
Oh, awesome.
And even I actually leave tomorrow at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to another unreached people group for a week to just travel villages and share the gospel. We'll share it with somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 people in the next week are going to get to hear the gospel of Jesus, some for the very first time to ever hear his name. And so for Whitley and I both, it is it's a desire of ours to see Christ made known among every people group. And so whether it influences how we pray together, it influences what we talk about, how I lead worship. I mean, my Sunday morning leading, if you come to Cabot, you will hear often us talk about every tribe and tongue and nation as we worship, because one day he will get the worship from all of them, and he rightfully deserves it. And so it really, practically speaking, it impacts everything that we do. Mm. It impacts how we give, how we live, how we, you know, what we talk about, what we do over dinner, all of it. Mm-hmm. And we were even cooking some ethnic food the other day. We're experimenting with how to cook other nations' food just in case you have people over who aren't from your culture that you want to be able to cook them food. And so we're not good at it yet, but we're working on it.
That's awesome.
And Fellowship has many opportunities to jump into mission trips, short-term mission trips that are going out all over the world in the next year. So this is a great opportunity to participate in this global worship of our God. So those top five again. I got to refresh my phone. It went black. All right. Those top five again, starting with five, is spend time with God in his word and in prayer. Number four, serve God by serving others. Number three, live a life in a rhythm of repentance. Number two, surround yourself in good community, gospel community. And number one, participate in the global mission of God. Dalton, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing with us your top five on how to worship God as you go about our daily lives. This is awesome. This is a great start.
Yeah, thank you, Dalton. Those really are so good to think about. And I think for our listeners to think about how to incorporate those ways of worship into our daily lives.
Mm, awesome, man. Awesome. We'll have you again sometime, all right?
Yeah, I loved it. It was a joy.
This is good. This is good. Amy, I learned a ton.
Yeah, me too. This is great.
And you know what? We're doing this podcast. You know, one of our prayers is to disciple and shepherd our body, our church, through this podcast. But I know I was discipled and shepherded through what Dalton had to say.
Yeah, me too.
Really challenged. So I think this is a great start to our top five theme, right?
Me too. Do you know which one's next?
We don't. So if you have any thoughts as you're listening to this podcast on what should be our next top five, why don't you email us at fellowshiptalks@fellowshiponline.com and share with us who you want on to do the top five and what they should talk about.
Ooh, I can't wait to hear those ideas.
Yeah, just add those in the comments there on Facebook.
Yeah.
Who should be on and what they should talk about. Or you can email us at fellowshiptalks@fellowshiponline.com. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, until next time, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.